Nuketown Radioactive, number 63, for Friday, March 14th, 2008. On this edition of Nuketown Radioactive, I talk about my trip to DrupalCon Boston, get a taste of winter up in New Hampshire, my wife Sue starts her own blog, I find two new geek podcasts, and check out some gamer bling. Yes, that's right, I said gamer bling.
My friends, geek dads travel in packs. Here comes Ken Newquist with Nuketown Radioactive.
Welcome to Nuketown Radioactive, the occasional podcast about life, liberty, and the pursuit of geekdom. I am your host, Ken Newquist, and I'm back from New England. That's right. I spent the last week or so up in New England visiting my sister in New Hampshire and then heading to Boston for DrupalCon. It was something of a whirlwind tour, but it was a heck of a lot of fun. So we'll start off with New Hampshire. First of all, that was a family expedition. So we took myself, my wife, Jordan, my daughter, and Lucas, my son, and headed up to my sister's place in the live free or die state. And let me tell you, man, it was a lot of fun. But, you know, you kind of forget what it's like to travel with young children. So Lucas is 21 months old. And, you know, there's certain things you can do when you're at home with a young child who won't go to sleep that you can't do when you're in a hotel. Namely, let them cry. when Lucas is kind of, you know, being fitful or just not being able to go to sleep, we'll throw him up in his crib and he'll talk to himself for a while. And, you know, eventually he might start crying, but most of the time he'll just kind of fall asleep. When you're in a hotel room, it doesn't work that well because for one thing, he can see you. He knows that you're there. He's going to be even more upset if you don't get him out of his crib. But the other thing is that, you know, there's other people in the hotel, and you don't want to wake them up with this crying baby, so of course you have to pick up, well, I guess I shouldn't even say baby anymore, right? Toddler? But it was just, you know, an extremely exhausting night on the way up when we stayed in a hotel just outside of Boston in Massachusetts. But then we got to New England and got to hang out with my sister, and that was great because we got to play in something that we don't have a lot of here, namely snow. I think all the snow that Pennsylvania was supposed to get, my sister got. They're running at something like 110 inches for the season. They had 20-odd inches of snow when we got there. They got another 8 inches of snow while we were there. So Jordan and I just had a blast going out into the snow and sledding in my sister's backyard and just really enjoying ourselves because we just haven't had that much snow here. I think we've had one sled-worthy snowstorm. And Jordan was kind of not so enthusiastic about that because it turns out while she likes playing in the snow, she's not too hip to the whole getting snow in her boots, around the gloves, that kind of thing. So she gets kind of fussy. And I think this is mostly just because she hasn't had enough experience playing in the snow. You know, if you're going out and you're doing it every week, well, you get used to it, right? Or you develop new techniques to prevent the snow from getting into your boots and gloves. And Jordan's just not that experienced yet. So it was great to be in New England and to be able to go out and play in the snow 3 days in a row. I will admit that it got a little exhausting by the third day because A, it was a lot of snow, and B, it was just me in the snow with Jordan. We had fun, but man, you know, it can get really exhausting when you're playing in the snow for hours on end. But we did get to do some really good sled runs. The snow was just ridiculously deep, and we even got to do something called Sugar on Snow, which we had read about when, I think it was, which Little House on the Prairie book? I think it was Laura Ingalls' Big House, or Little House in the Big Woods. It's the first Little House on the Prairie series of books. And in there, they mention having sugar on snow because they're tapping maple trees for syrup. And basically what this is you take maple syrup, you boil it, and then you pour it onto snow. And if you do it right, you end up getting basically this candy-like substance when the maple syrup cools very, very quickly. And it's kind of chewy, and it's very, very sweet, of course, because it's syrup. But it's really cool to see it just kind of like crystallize like that. Well, not quite crystallize. I think it's actually passing crystallization, if I understand the process correctly. But in any case, it solidifies very quickly, and it's very fun. Now, if you don't do it right, you end up with basically a maple syrup snow cone, which, as my wife said, well, that's not necessarily a bad thing either. But that was a lot of fun. It was great hanging out with Chris and her husband and their two young kids. They have a 2-year-old and a 4-month-old, and their 4-month-old feels more like an 8-month-old because he's so big. But it was really just nice to kind of, hang out in New Hampshire, watch the snow fall, relax a little bit, have fun with the kids, just relax a little, I got to read a little. I got to finish 2 issues of Analog Magazine, which, let's see, I think I'm presently up to June of 2007 at this point, so I only have about another, 8 or 10 issues to read to get caught up. But it was very relaxing. So after that particular stretch, I think we stayed there for about 3 days, we headed down to Boston. And the original idea was that Sue would hang out with me in Boston, stay in my hotel room, and then while I went to DrupalCon, she would go take the kids to like the Children's Museum or the aquarium or whatever. And that turned out not to work so well. Yes, the trip up where we stayed at the hotel in Massachusetts ended up being something of foreshadowing for our trip to Boston, because Luke was just a holy terror in the hotel room on Sunday night before the conference began. It was really just kind of well, a battle to try and get him to sleep, and he just used to sleep. He fought us at every turn. He wouldn't snuggle. He would just try and run around in the middle of the night and try and open doors and play with his trucks and, the whole shebang, anything except for sleep. So we all kind of came to the conclusion that this just wasn't going to work. So Sue ended up going for a short walk around Boston with the kids, which also proved to be somewhat disastrous because Jordan, is not used to being in the big city, and although we told her to stay very close to Sue, she apparently jumped off the sidewalk at one point, which gave Sue a minor heart attack. So yeah, no big cities for a little while, or at least no big cities unless there's two parents to watch the kids, because it's just too much stuff that you have to be paying attention to. And I think we definitely would like to do it again. I mean, I'd certainly love to take the kids to New York. I would definitely like to go to Boston again with the kids because it's a fun city. But yeah, they're gonna need to be older. I'm thinking maybe when Lucas is 3 and Jordan's 6 or 7, that might work a little bit better. As for DrupalCon itself, well, it was really, really cool. We use Drupal at my day job for a departmental website and for like a campus-wide blogging solution for the college. It's kind of the second thing is called Soapbox, and it's kind of like this ad hoc place where people can go if they need to quickly set up a blog for class or if they want to set up a quick little group to use with a club. So we've been using it, I think, for about 2 years. I've been using it to power Nuketown for about 2 years, and I've really been impressed with the CMS, but I had no idea just how cool it was and just how many different people were using it. For example, DC Comics is using it for their new Zumba venture, which is like I guess alternative comic book kind of thing. I'm not exactly sure how that's working out, but now that I've seen it, I want to go check it out, right? Lifetime's using it for their website. The New York Observer's using it for theirs. Onion's using it for theirs. Spread Firefox, also another Drupal site. So there were all these really big name sites that were using Drupal, which really impressed me. If nothing else, for the scalability of the solution. I mean, it's just really cool stuff. So looking at some of the capabilities, looking at what people were doing with Drupal actually does make me think that I want to go back to the college and see if we might want to look at scaling up Drupal to support other departmental websites. There's a multi-site option for Drupal where you can use one set of code to host multiple different websites. Basically, each website ends up getting its own database. It does subdomains. Now, the one thing it doesn't do that WordPress MU does is wildcarded subdomains, so that you can basically have somebody log in and boom, they get a website with their name as the subdomain. But, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It could work into our workflow. And I think I like the idea of using one set of code with Drupal and one CMS that we can really focus our efforts on rather than splintering and supporting WordPress MU and having to understand both of those two very well as well. So DrupalCon was very cool. The other thing that was really cool about it was I've had this itch for a while to go to a conference where, you know, we actually look at code. Being in education, a lot of the conferences that I go to, they'll talk about technology and uses of technology, but they'll never actually pull up any code. You don't have a lot of geeks there that are, you know, sitting there and working your way through the PHP or the Perl or whatever. You know, there's not a lot of hands-on as to what's powering the solutions that people are creating. It's too abstract. DrupalCon, complete opposite. Almost every session got into the code. It was just very, very cool. And a lot of the sessions dealt with specific things like unit testing for Drupal, module development, single sign-on, you know, all this really good, meaty, geeky stuff that was just, it was 4 days of near bliss. So I was very excited. I've come back kind of just turbocharged wanting to use Drupal for everything again. But I think the first place I'll start is updating Nuketown to take advantage of some of the aspects of Drupal that I haven't really spent a lot of time working with, such as views and the content construction kit. And I also have some ideas as to how I want to mix up the site to better incorporate some of my social media stuff, like Delicious and Twitter and such. So having just sung the praises of Drupal, I will now have to sing the praises of WordPress, because that's what I use to power my wife's new website. She just started a blog for her jewelry business, Red Tail Designs. So please head over there, stop by, say hi, post a comment, whatever. You can find her website at www.redtaildesigns.com. She does some pretty interesting stuff with porcupine quill jewelry. Probably not what you're thinking it is. It's using porcupine quills, but it turns out that porcupine quills, being hair, are actually hollow. And what she'll do is she'll cut them up into smaller pieces and then use them either for quilling, in which she's actually making designs by sticking the quills into leather, or she's making jewelry in the form of bracelets, earrings, that kind of stuff. She also does a bunch of stuff with horsehair, making horsehair bracelets, horsehair earrings, that kind of thing, which has proven popular with people, surprisingly enough, who you know, own horses, because you know, they like the idea of being able to take some hair from the mane of their horse and using that to create like a bracelet or something. So very cool stuff. She wanted to have a site that was more dynamic and that was easier for her to update. And I thought, well, you know what? This could probably be a good opportunity to use WordPress. We're possibly going to be using it at work. This is a chance for me to get my feet wet with WordPress and see exactly how it goes. And for the most part, I think it went pretty well. I mean, the attraction to me of WordPress over Drupal is I think that the user interface is better, especially for newbies. Now, admittedly, Sue has some challenges getting used to the WordPress interface, but I think it would have been, you know, 10 times more difficult getting used to the Drupal one. Now, having said that, one of the things I want to do with Nuketown is see how I can streamline the Drupal interface to see if I can make it more user-friendly, with an idea towards using it at work. Because I think it is possible to make Drupal friendlier. There are definitely some enhancements you can add, such as a WYSIWYG editor, and disabling some modules for not administrators that would make the interface much more streamlined. But for right now, it was just easier to set Sue up with WordPress and just get her up and running. And so basically what I did was I took an existing theme, hacked it to the point where it met what Sue's expectations were for the site, and launched it. I have another project that I'm going to be trying with WordPress, which is going to be for my Infinity Storm blog for my Mutants and Masterminds campaign. in which I'm taking a mockup, an HTML mockup of a website, and then converting that to WordPress, which should be much more interesting because I'm basically going to be building my own theme from scratch. So you can look forward to seeing that in the upcoming weeks. Now, one final thing I wanted to talk about, because I brought it up in previous podcasts, was the Mac sleep pain that I've been experiencing. Unfortunately, it has not gone away. It's gotten a little bit better in that my Mac is somewhat more likely to wake up from sleep spontaneously, but it's still having issues. And I think that ultimately I'm going to have to just bite the bullet, back up my computer, and do a clean install and see if that can resolve the issue. Because I have friends at work who are running Leopard on their MacBook Pros without this problem. So I think that it may just be a legacy of having upgraded from Tiger. However, having said that, Steve of the WikiGood podcast sent me a link to a preference pane for Mac OS X that allows you to control your MacBook's sleep preferences. I haven't tried it, but, you know, if you do, let me know. Let me know how it works out. I think I'm going to try and do the clean install thing first and see how well that works out. And then, you know, I think if that does work, then I may install this preferences just to be able to get rid of that damn hibernation mode, because I really, really don't need it right now. Anyway, you can check out the Smart Sleep Preference pane by going to www.jinx.de/smartsleep.html. And of course, there will be a link to that in the show notes.
If you need help with your master plan, check out rpgpodcast.com.
So I've got another spate of geek home improvement coming up, namely in the form of remodeling the third floor gaming room, which had some water damage a couple years ago, and really is desperately in need of being repainted. This, of course, means that I need more podcasts, because, you know, if you're going to spend 16 hours doing nothing but remodeling, it's good to have some friends with you. So that has led me to search for a couple new podcasts, and I have found them in the form of the 3.5 Private Sanctuary and the Geek Survival Guide. So if you remember my essay last time around on why Wizards of the Coast is slashing and burning Dungeons & Dragons, you know that my gaming group isn't exactly thrilled with the fourth edition of D&D that is being released in June. It turns out we're not alone in this, and there's actually a podcast dedicated to promoting 3.5, and just kind of reminding people, I guess, that not everybody is planning on converting to the newest version of the rules. The name of the podcast is the 3.5 Private Sanctuary, and basically it's an online resource for D&D gamers who plan to continue playing 3.5 Dungeons & Dragons for the foreseeable future. It's hosted by Ryan Costello Jr. and Jason Dobsky, and so far I've really enjoyed it. They've been reviewing some existing source books. Unfortunately, I haven't actually listened to any of the podcasts where they've done the book reviews. The more recent ones have featured just more conversation, a little bit of ranting about 4E, that kind of stuff. But I liked what I heard. I mean, I think they're definitely coming at this upgrade from the same perspective that we are, where we have an existing campaign. We like the rules. Maybe we're not 100% thrilled with the rules, but that doesn't mean we're ready to just kind of hack them to pieces and go with something else entirely. So it was nice to be able to kind of, you know, hear from some folks who have a similar mindset, and I will definitely be keeping this podcast in my queue. Now, the other one, which turned out to be a surprise hit with my daughter, is the Geek Survival Guide, which I think I learned about through Geek Acres, if I remember correctly. But in any case, you can check out the Geek Survival Guide at gsguide.blogspot.com. And basically, the Survival Guide seeks to point you to the best information to keep you and your loved ones alive during the inevitable zombie apocalypse. It's a kind of tongue-in-cheek, just funny podcast talking about things like giant robot invasions, Pokemon addictions, zombie uprisings, those kind of things. And the funny thing, which I totally didn't anticipate, was that my daughter would be so enthralled with this podcast. She really liked listening to it. And I don't know exactly what it was, if it's just the tone of voice, if it's just kind of like the silly subject matter or what, or the fact that they're, you know, talking about Pokemon. Not that Jordan knows what Pokemon is yet, and hopefully won't for a couple of years, because I think that's a game that she would fall completely head over heels for. But I think she just thought it was a very silly podcast and she really enjoyed listening to it. So I would tend to agree with her. So if you just need a little bit of humor in your day, I would recommend checking it out. Now, on one non-podcast note, I have come across a new gamer blog that I'd like to mention called Gamer Bling. You can find it at gamerbling.wordpress.com, and this blog covers the tools of the gaming trade, from specialty dice to fortified gaming screens, and it's great when you're looking for something different to surprise your players with. It's also good for figuring out if some particular bit of, well, gamer bling is really worth getting. I came across the site because it had some photos of perhaps one of the only cool things that I've seen for 4E. Okay, I shouldn't be so down on 4E. There's a lot of it that I like. I gotta stop being so negative. But anyway, they came out with basically a D&D castle game master screen. So this thing is just freaking huge. It looks like a DM screen, so I think it's got like 3 or 4 panels, but it also has towers, and inside the towers are dice rollers, so you basically take your dice, throw it into the top of the tower, comes out. If you're rolling for the players, it comes out the front of the screen. If you're rolling for the GM, it comes out on your side of the screen. It's got reference tables on the inside, little shelves to put your miniatures. I mean, this thing is pretty cool. Now, apparently, it's only being shipped as part of promotional stuff for gaming stores. You have to order a certain amount of merchandise for 4E books, and then you'll get one of these things with it. But I got to assume they're going to show up on eBay at some point. And, man, it would be so nice if Wizards would release something like this as an actual product, because I could see people buying it. Now, I know this probably goes and gets in the craw of some players, who really hate GM screens, but I think, man, this thing is pretty nifty. I could definitely see breaking it out for like gaming conventions or for my own homegrown NukemCon. Just, you know, when you need those special occasions where you really just want to go hardcore D&D, this would be an awesome screen to have. In the meantime, though, while you're kind of drooling over this thing, you can see what else is new by checking out the Gamer Bling blog. Now, I think I may have actually forgotten to mention the web address where you can find the Private Sanctuary. It's at rcjrproductions.com/35ps. And just to state it again, the Gamer Bling blog can be found at gamerbling.wordpress.com.
Chris, you've got the 7 sun plans, but you don't have me. You were going to kill me, Chris. You were going to have to come down here. You're going to have to come down here.
I've done far worse than kill you. I've hurt you, and I wish to go on hurting you. I shall leave you as you left me, cliffhangered, marooned for all eternity in the center of a waterlogged, forgotten lab. Buried alive. Buried alive.
Chris!
The Secret Lair, the final... Oh, come on. You cannot be serious. No, I am not reading that. And what is this? These are the voyages of 230-something Midwestern geeks? Forget it. I'll say subscribe at www.thesecretlair.com, and that's it. I'm done.
That'll do it for this edition of Nuketown Radioactive. Sorry, no review or essay this week. I just didn't have enough time, and I really wanted to get the podcast out, you know, this month. So I will be talking to you all again soon. I'd love it if you'd talk to me. You can send me feedback, either audio or email, at nuketown@gmail.com.